Om Shanti. I'm sure everyone has been enjoying the special courses and classes that have been arranged for this season, and I would like to congratulate the organizers because I have had very good feedback that people are feeling the richness of these special classes and courses. So today the subject is My Life, My Yajna. The Yajna, the full formal name of the Yajna, which is almost unpronounceable, but see if you can catch it, Rajaswaha Ashwamegh Avinashi Rudra Gita Kyan Yajna, right? That's what it is. And it has a very wonderful meaning. It is the sacrificial fire of the knowledge of the Gita given by Rudra, Shiva, in which the horse is sacrificed in order to claim a kingdom. And this sacrificial fire is imperishable. So that is the instrument that Baba has created in order for us to be transformed from our Iron Age stage, in which we became enslaved by matter and Maya, in which we lost consciousness of who we are and what we are, in which we became completely impoverished and under many influences which caused us to exist in a state of continuous suffering and anxiety. So from that stage, through this extraordinary instrument, Baba makes us like himself. How is Baba? Baba is delicious. He speaks about supersensuous joy. So if you can imagine a being who is so completely outside the range of sense perception that you become intoxicated by how beautiful he is, and how beautiful is the knowledge that he knows, and what he knows is the knowledge of the creation, the drama, the cycle. And then Baba makes us aware of that in such a way that we become completely free and completely beautiful, completely natural. And this is why we are here. So I never really feel or think of this as an organization or an institution, because that's very too far down to earth. The Yajna is an instrument that causes us to exist in the avyat stage and the incorporeal stage, having left behind the physical. And it is all about sacrifice, and sacrifice means making sacred. So sacredness is the opposite of profane. So profane is probably a word that my translators might not know, but profane means ordinary, earthly. You know the word profanity, which usually means that you are using swear words. So it is because profane is really totally the opposite of sacred. Sacred is holy, it's pure, it's extraordinary, it's almost intangible and unreachable, and it is this that makes us fly with our heart with our soul and reach that state of perception where we're able to experience what Baba means by super sensuous joy. That means you really can taste the deliciousness of Baba. He is delicious. So delicious that all the status symbols and attractions and all these beautiful things of the world pale in comparison. And so what you want, I suppose, or what I want, I suppose you also want, is to be able to perceive that delicious one. Is that right? And so if we are caught up in body consciousness, matter, maya, if we are cut off from that perception, then we have to, as it were, fake it till you make it. Do you know this expression? And so we say very good things, but we don't kind of feel it. When we came to Baba, we experienced something. Each and every one of us, we had an encounter with Baba, which made us say, yes, this is it. He's the one. Is that right, everyone? And that created a stamp. And sometimes Bhak Dada used to say to us that, you know, the one thing that Brahmins have, which makes them Brahmins, is the virtue of having recognized Baba. Even if it was only for an instant, but the power of that experience, that yes, this is the one, this is he, this is it, it made us say, I'm in, you know. And then after that, there are other things. You can't hold it, you lose it, you can't concentrate, you can't reach that stage, but you have it in your memory bank. And every so often, Baba will give us a gift, and that gift is that he enables us to cross through that curtain of materialism and penetrate into the world of the avyat stage and the incorporeal stage, where we are absorbing Baba's light, and that we can actually feel, yes, he is the most beautiful, the most delicious, this is the one. And it is extraordinary that he gives us this perception, not only of who he is, but the angle with which he looks on the world cycle. Now, Gita Gyan Yagya, the Yagya of the knowledge of the Gita. The knowledge of the Gita is basically this, that we have to be equal in the face of all pairs of opposites. You've read the Gita, I suppose. If not, you should. The Baba himself is perfection, he is light, he is truth, he sees clearly, and he remains in that stage perpetually. And wherever he is, the opposite of him is also there. And that means that we have to be able to be neutral in the face of these extreme opposites. And so when we think that there should not be any maya, or there should not be any suffering, or there should not be any blackness, darkness, evilness, all of this stuff, it means we haven't understood. We need to understand that if you want to come close to the light, you have to be able to be close to the dark as well and not mind about it. Hope that's okay. Is it right? Because Baba lets us know himself more easily, or most easily, in terms of contrast. In the Golden Age, everything is neutral because there's no contrast. In the Iron Age, everything is unsatisfactory because we don't understand what's going on, and we haven't seen what it's becoming, we haven't seen what the opposite is. In the Iron Age, we are limited by our morality and ethics, which makes us see what's wrong with everything and makes us try to change everything. But the knowledge of the Gita, in which it says you have to be neutral, you have to be equal in the face of praise and defamation, success and failure, heat and cold, life and death, suffering and enjoyment, all the various different pairs of opposites. Sometimes we say, oh, I'm not appreciated. Well, you have to be able to be equal with being very appreciated or not appreciated, because another part of the Gita, very important teaching of the Gita, is do not look for results. Results. We're always very result-minded. And we are, in many ways, we are trained by the Iron Age world. We are trained to be achievers. Is that right? You have to be successful. You have to be wealthy. You have to be beautiful. You have to be having various degrees. You have to have position. You have to have property. You have to have influence. All of these things are illusory. And when we come into the yajna, we come into the world of maya, in which all the things which we experienced in the Lokic world get intensified enormously. So the possibility of being with Baba is extremely intense. But then the opposite of that is equally extremely intense. And we are the kind of stuck in the middle between these extremes, and we need to be able to balance ourselves in that space. Sometimes I would balance myself in between God and death, you know. And in the Lokic world, in the religious world, you know, people think that you go to God when you die. And when we come to Baba, Baba says, you die alive. And we're not quite sure what that means. So we have to churn on these expressions that Baba gives us a great deal, so we can understand why he is saying this to us and what is this instruction. Sometimes we get very caught up in service, because service helps us to be achievers and have success and all of those things. But the direction that Baba gives us is, remember me. And so we say, well, what does that mean? So going back to what is the yajna, the Raja, Swaha, Ashwamedh, Avinashi, Rudra, Gita, Gyan, yajna. This is the, we're trying to get a kingdom. Now all of our training in our world that we grew up in our different cultures, have told us that kingdoms are not good. You know, we're favoring democracy, is that right? You see, liberal and this type of thing. And so kingdom goes against the grain. And Baba says, no, a kingdom means you have to be a king of your mind, your intellect, your sanskaras. And a king means that you understand how they work, and you are the master, you see. You understand what they are. These are your instruments, your subtle instruments. And we come into the yajna as slaves of the mind, slaves of the intellect, and slaves of the sanskaras. How are we slaves of the intellect? It is because in our intellect we have absorbed concepts, ideas, and ideologies which cause us to be violent, to become corrupt, and to operate with double standards. Under the impression that this is a good way to be. This is a conventional thinking that we have received through the Iron Age cultural inputs. And it is because of body consciousness that we have accepted those. When Baba comes to us and says, okay, I want you to sacrifice your intellect. You'll see in the Gita is mentioned that you have to surrender your intellect. And the last piece of the Gita says, I've understood, I've become detached. So what are we attached to? The main thing that we are attached to is the should. It should be like this, it shouldn't be like this. It has to, it hasn't to. You know, these, what we call the modal verbs. But what Baba says to us is, you know, the knowledge of drama. Understand the knowledge of drama. Whatever is going on, it is. Accept it. Everything is predestined. What does that mean? It means I belong to the yajna because I belonged to it before. I have to become like Baba because I became like Baba before. I see. Is this true? Yes, no? Yes? So we have to hold these things in our minds, and then what happens with the mind is probably rather like the World Wide Web. It's connected with so many things. It's very difficult to be concentrated because a sanskar will trigger an association and the mind will go off into different associations which pull you down into materialism. So the stage of being neutral in the face of the different pairs of opposites is a very excellent way to come out of the material world, because the material world is all about comparisons. Black next to white. All the different colors next to each other. You know the chart of colors, and that purple next to yellow, the, you know, green next to blue, all of these colors which set each other off and which pull us into materialism. So we have to bring ourselves into the avyat where we see everything without being, you know, pulled one way or the other, or without making any comment about it. Just really know it is what it is. Baba is an acting teacher. He says all of us souls are actors, and so he teaches us how to be expert, excellent actors. What does an actor have to do? An actor has to understand the character they play. So we are all playing the character of BK. This is our character, we're BK. And within that BK character, we are in all kinds of situations. And every situation is especially designed to call our attention to where we are weak, to where we haven't understood, to where we have got it wrong, or we don't have clarity, or we really think we are something which we are not, or we think we are not something which we are. And so the situation comes repeatedly, again and again. You find yourself doing that quote-unquote bad sanskar until you get the point that there is nothing making you do that except it's your habit. Nothing else at all. It's your habit to take sorrow. It's your habit to feel insulted. It's your habit to get confused. It's your habit to feel anxious. These are only habits. Thinking of them as habits changes our attitude towards them, where we used to think these are real. These are realities. But you change that. No, it's only a habit. How do you change a habit? You change a habit by making a decision. And that ability to make that decision occurs when you stop liking that habit. When you stop justifying that habit. When all you can see is you don't like that habit, you don't want that habit, and so you can claim your personal power and you say, I choose to not go there. I choose to not be there. And what this will do is it'll free us up to be closer to Baba. Sometimes we have to experience extreme pain. It could be physical pain, it could be anxiety pain, it could be emotional pain, it could be any variety of pain. It could be the pain of feeling humiliated. And you may feel humiliated because you really do get humiliated. But what should we do with that pain? Is that pain is like walking in fire. The yajna is a fire. And Baba gives us the eight powers. Tolerance, accommodation. Tolerance and accommodation are especially useful to manage these kinds of pains, so that you can go through that fire and allow it to burn those unwanted habits. And when you come out of that, when you take this test of fire, like Sita, you know, she had to go through this fire to prove that she was pure. And the test of fire, it doesn't so much prove that you're pure, but it makes you pure, you see. And so if we do not have the powers, we cannot actually sit in the yajna because it is fire and it will burn. Sometimes Baba says your yoga is too tepid. It is just lukewarm. There has to be fire in the yoga so that something in particular happens. What happens in fire to souls? The alloy gets removed. The alloy is impurity, you see. What happens when we have the ego is we don't accept in a very deep way that I, the soul, am contaminated, I am impure because of having passed through 5,000 years of time and taken rebirths, and I have done various wrong actions or actions which caused these impurities to come in, and I choose to boon so that they come out? What is the fire that Baba is asking us to burn in? It is the intense fire of love for Baba. That is a fire, is it not? It is a kind of a passion. Devices are also passions. Lust is passion. Anger is passion. Greed is passion. Attachment is passion. And ego is definitely passion. These are fires that have caused the soul to become so melted that this alloy could get in. The only way to remove this alloy is for us to say, I choose to sit in the fire and I will take the heat of the circumstances, of the situations, of the different pieces of drama that come along to burn me, and I choose to use the powers that Baba has given and to burn in the fire of love for Baba so that these impurities come out. They cannot come out any other way. So that means that for me, Raja Yoga is not a relaxing type of thing. It is an intense thing. Being in Madhuban is an intensification of the intensity, which is why we call Madhuban the Yajna, you know. I mean, when we are in our centers, this is also extension of the Yajna. But being here in Madhuban, everything intensifies, everything heats up. And sometimes those of us who have had long periods in Madhuban, you feel everything heats up and heats up and heats up. Have you experienced this? And sometimes it makes you crazy because it is really intense. And this is why we have to make sure that we keep up with the intense fire, this invisible fire of the Yajna, through the fire of our disciplines. Our disciplines are very necessary because they enable us to accumulate the power to manage this intensity. And also we must kindle the fire of love for Baba so that we say to Baba, Baba, let me burn, because what I want is I want you to make me like you. Is that right? Is that what we want? You know, Baba says, Bap Saman, become Bap Saman. So you try becoming Bap Saman for a long time, and then you realize that no, you can't become Bap Saman just like that. Baba has to make you like himself. So what happened with Brahma Baba is Shiv Baba took him over and kind of kidnapped him and invaded him and said, okay, now you have to do what I say, because I'm God and you're my vehicle, and that's the story. So, and Baba agreed and Baba surrendered, and of course it put him in a very intense fire, many kinds of fires. No one in his community could understand what was going on. Hardly he himself could understand what was happening. And then this yajna requires Brahmins. You've heard in the Murli, the yajna requires Brahmins. What do Brahmins do in a yajna? Well, Brahmins have to chant mantras. In the Bhakti Yajna, the Brahmins have to chant mantras. What are our mantras? We are all the time speaking Baba's knowledge. This is what is meant by the mantra. The mantra is anyway a piece of advice. What is our advice? Om Shanti, be a peaceful soul. Man Mana Bhav, keep the mind with Baba, Madhyaji Baba, remember the one in the middle. This is what we are trying to become. We're trying to become Vishnu. And Baba said in the Murli today, there's not two souls, Brahma soul, Vishnu soul, it's one soul. But the soul, the condition of the soul in the Iron Age is absolutely different, absolutely opposite from the condition of the soul in the Golden Age. How will we go from Iron Age to Golden Age, from iron to gold? It requires that fire. Sometimes Baba says, mentions the system of purifying gold, putting the gold in the crucible and cooking it until the impure metals come out, leaving only the gold. So what that means is we are being restored to our original nature. And when we are close to Baba, you know, the way Baba is the way we were. And this is why we want to be like Baba, why we want Baba to make us like him, because then we become like we're supposed to be. We become completely natural, completely beautiful, and probably very delicious. You know, if you can imagine all of us being totally natural, completely in our power, in our beauty, without any of the masks that our ego has convinced us to adopt, without any of the artificial ways of being that we use to cover our internal confusions, then Baba can be revealed, because each and every one of us starts to look like Baba, even though all of us are completely different and completely unique. So we surrender the horse. The horse is, of course, not only our physical body, our image, but also the mind, the intellect, and the sanskaras. You know, Baba had said in the renunciation Murli package that we sometimes look at, you must surrender your mind, your intellect, your sanskaras, so that there is nothing left of the, you can say, the non-self. There's this word paraya, which is an English word, but it comes originally from the Hindi. Paraya means it's someone else. It belongs to someone else. It's not really me. So we have become so opposite of our real self that we've lost our real self. When we come in the yajna and we encounter all of the difficulties that we do encounter, they just are so useful because they force us to come back to our power. They force us to abandon the falseness. They force us to return to who we really are. And this is why also the yajna is about solitude. Solitude and concentration. If we want to be like Baba, we have to concentrate on Baba. We have to cause our mind to focus on Baba, through which the soul can absorb light. And this light that we get from Baba, this light also has a vibration. It has a harmonic. And you wonder how Baba is the purifier. Baba is the purifier because his harmonic causes us to return to our original vibration, our original frequency, so that anything that doesn't correspond to that pure harmonic sound or vibration or feeling or color, it just falls away, you see. But this is why we have to keep up this very fine concentration. And what happens? We become distracted by activities, by comparisons, by so many things which are all to do with the material world, all to do with the loyalty that we have to how we have been trained in the Lokic world. Baba tells us, I am your father, your teacher, and your guru. Why does he tell us that? What is the implication of telling us that? Your father means the one who gives you your identity, who gives you your place in society, who gives you your attitude towards other people, who gives you your sense of who you are, your identity. Your teacher says, this is what this culture is. You have to become loyal to this culture. You have to become loyal to these values. You have to imagine that what we are telling you is the truth. This is your history, this is your geography, this is your purpose, this is your place in the wider world, and what you have to do with your life, we will tell you. And then you agree to that, and in so doing, abandon the essence of your soul. Your guru gives you the religious dogmas. You know, this is right, this is wrong, be this, do this, this is the purpose of life, this is death, etc. This is good, this is bad. Now Baba says, all of that is no longer relevant. I am your father, I'm a point of light, I am the benefactor. I have treasures which are your inheritance. I know who I am, I know who you are, I know what is the creation. And what you used to be and what you are to become is deities. Deities has nothing to do with statues you find in temples. Those are memorials. The actual deity is the person who's completely beautiful, completely pure, who is a giver. Deity means a giver. Someone who is always so wealthy internally, so beautiful internally, that they are just extending their treasures out into the atmosphere. And there is a give and take of mutually beneficial interaction. There's a deity, you see. And Baba is teaching us that the way we are is because there has been decline. That means we have to lose our loyalty to the idea of progress. And we have to really churn deeply what Baba has told us about ourselves so that we can lose the non-self that we had been stuck to and recover our original self, which is so pure, so beautiful, so lovely, so wise, so extraordinary, that all of us together come in perfect harmony. And that connection with Baba, that remembrance of Baba, causes that change. And all we have to do is be in this fire of knowledge. He takes us off the pyre of lust and puts us into the pyre of knowledge. So what is the pyre of lust? It's all to do with us thinking I'm female or I'm male. You see, as a soul we're genderless. There isn't anything male or female, doesn't exist. You see, we do not see the body, we see through the body to the soul. Baba gives us the third eye. What is the third eye for? So that you can see the invisible things and cease and desist from seeing the defects. With our two eyes, we can find out easily what's wrong with everything. If we use our third eye to enhance that, then we are not using the third eye in the way that it's supposed to be used. We have to be able to see each soul as they were before anything ever happened to contaminate them and cause them to be hidden from view. The third eye enables us to see Baba. Through the avyakt form, we can see Baba, we can feel Baba. And by seeing Baba and feeling Baba and seeing each soul the way Baba sees each soul, we can become like Baba. And this is what Baba wants from us. How do we give the return to Baba? Devi Jenki is always telling us, you must give the return for all the treasures, all the sustenance, all the teachings that Baba has given. We give the return by becoming the way Baba wants us to be. So this is called obedience. Obedience has nothing to do with, you know, giving up your freedom. Obedience is a very different type of thing, of really understanding who is Baba, who am I, how can I become like Baba by allowing Baba to make me like himself and let go of the artificial self that we have created as a way to compensate for all of the dysfunctional ways that we have coped with various situations that we didn't understand or that we dealt with through the conventional thinking, which ultimately failed us. And we stay with Baba because we know that the conventional thinking did fail us and will continue to fail us. But Baba will not fail us. What Baba is telling us is very deep, very true, very subtle. And so by tuning the knowledge, we are able to actually absorb it into ourselves. Each and every day, there is a soul of every Murli, an essence that we have to think about. Like today, how does Baba know everything? How do we know things? By studying, by listening, by absorbing. How does Baba know things? He already knows. He's a different. He's not a human soul. And he wants us to become human in the most beautiful way by giving up our human condition, which is all about how we sabotage ourselves, we betray ourselves and each other, and we kind of cause bad press to the word human because it's become associated with vices, violence, and so on. And so I just wanted to encourage you to really use this idea of the yajna as a purification process. And really not think of it as an institution. The institution is the structure. We have to have a place, we have to have chairs to sit on. Part of the yajna is food. And the food of the yajna, the Brahma Bhojan, from Shiv Baba's Bandara, we get Brahma Bhojan. So we take that matter, which is surrendered into the yajna, and we work with it, doing action in Baba's remembrance, using the fire, physical fire, to transform that food into Brahma Bhojan, offer it to Baba, change that food, actually alter the quality of the matter of the food, ingest that food in Baba's remembrance, and that alters the quality of our bodies. And once we are Brahmins, eating Brahma Bhojan, doing service of the yajna, our bodies are no longer like regular human bodies, because even our bodies are getting purified by service of the yajna, by cooperating in Baba's work, and by ingesting Brahma Bhojan and drinking and thinking and feeling and altering the quality of our cells in our body. The longer we do this, the more we become different. And of course, what happens when you change the quality of the body, every so often the negative contamination of the body will erupt in the form of physical diseases. And many of us experience that when we come to Madhuban, we get sick. It's all part of the purging process. And so we use all of that to our advantage to become the ones who are in the process of purification, and happily we move forward in that process. So I will stop there because we have some other activities. So thank you very much. Om Shanti.
Om Shanti. Really, Denise, thank you for that amazing journey into the depth of our yajna, Baba's yajna. And Denise, one of the original jewels to come to Baba outside of Bharat and do amazing service from Baba. I think many of us that came to Baba about 30 years ago, Denise was the first voice that we ever heard. And just last week I was playing her voice to students coming, so she's still very much with us. And I think we've got a very new adjective to explore. Have you used it before? Delicious. That Baba is delicious and we're also delicious. So thank you.